down, or we boogie up. With a skate key to open the door, boogie.
One more time.
Even if you don't boogie.
Ain't no time.
That's alright, then don't boogie.
Just try.
Alright, in a nice kitted car. Kit RX-7. No Michael Knights. Sit off.
Welcome to another fantastic edition of the Boogie Down. After a 1 week brief hiatus, we've decided to come back. Gentlemen, it is a pleasure sitting next to you on Vinny's couch once again for another week talking sports with you fine gentlemen.
It's good to be back, man. Off the bye week, feel fresh.
Yeah, we had our own personal bye week.
I'm a little dismayed. I'm not going to lie. We talk football mostly on this show, but
I mean, we can talk about the Yankees.
The events of last night.
I think we can absolutely talk about the Yankees and the embarrassment performance that they put up. I was telling my brother that I felt like this baseball season felt like the girl you chase for the entire summer. You have 6 weeks of buildup where you're taking her out, you're having dates, it's a good time, you're doing this, you're doing that. Then you're taking her home one night. It's the 6 month season's over. Now you've got her home for the evening.
It's time to perform.
You've got her in your ballpark. You drop Trow and she just laughs at your dick. That's exactly how those
it's
two games.
It's a great way of putting it. It's just
you spend so much time investing in this team and the things, you know, Judge and Stanton, and you bring in Hap and Lynn, and you're trying to fortify things. And the bullpen, you bring in Britton. It's like the things this team could have been had it not been the ineptitude of this manager who, Vin, I know you have no joy.
You could have a million weapons, but if you don't know how to use them, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's as good as having no weapons. And the strength of this team was the bullpen. And they've hired a man that has not the slightest clue how to utilize their biggest strength and their most important weapon.
Bringing in Lance Lynn Eric Storm, our friend, said, it's a fireable offense.
I mean, you saw how well Betances and Robertson looked last night. Those are the guys that need to come in when the game is still in striking distance, like it was in the third inning and the fourth inning the night before. Those are the guys that need to come out there, not Lance Lynn. Come on, man.
You bring Chad Green into the inning. Bring Jonathan Holder.
You could have gone with almost anybody else besides Lance Lynn.
There are multitudes of issues with the manager. However, in the end, this team didn't hit. One run and a massive blowout in game three, and then the bats didn't wake up until the ninth inning last night, where you could argue, you know, Mike Stanton in a big spot. I mean, that is
he was a dreadful for the whole series. Awful.
And alas,
truly looked like a guy that's never played in a big game in his life.
And it showed, because he never has, and clearly he had no idea what the hell he was doing this entire series.
It's not even so much that he didn't hit the ball and he didn't get on base. They were awful, awful at-bats. Terrible at-bats.
Striking out every time.
Swinging at balls way outside the strike zone, not working counts. Awful.
Did he make contact in the ninth inning of any of these games? Like Friday night?
He might have fouled a ball off last night.
In game three, he was the only Yankee to record multiple hits. But that was a 16-1 loss.
Right.
At which nothing matters. You know, in game one, when he had a chance to break things open with the bases loaded in the seventh inning, he struck out. Last night in the ninth inning with the bases loaded, fucking struck out. There, you need the guy you're paying $30 million a year for the next 10 fucking years before you need him to fucking show up in a big spot. That's why he's hitting cleanup. He doesn't even have to play the field anymore. His sole job is to fucking hit the baseball, and he can't do it. It's a problem. Ugh. It's disgusting.
Yeah, well, you hope that you get more out of him. I mean, in theory, he should improve. The manager is not going to improve.
You're not wrong.
He sucks. He sucks. And he's got to go. And I know he's not going to, which is what kills me even more. He'll be back here next year, and it'll be the same dog and pony show that you had this whole year this year. It's awful.
It's not good, but at least we have the NFL season to keep us warm at night. No, well, some
at least we have the NFL.
Where our teams are combined, what?
No one has had a good week since the last time we spoke, I don't believe. My team finally won, but
it's been another few weeks of utter embarrassment for our franchises. I know the Jags have played well, Spence. They lost last week, but they won during our bye week. So you've had a nice 1-1 split. Vin, a 1-1 split. My franchise, 0-2, and it just...
And getting worse. Getting better anytime soon.
Now they got
a
Thursday night game against the reigning world champs, who don't look like world beaters yet, but God, once Carson Wentz figures it out, which he probably will against the Giants, because why wouldn't he?
Yeah, I'm sure he will. That's the best antidote for him.
Yeah, there's 350 and three scores. Can't wait on a Thursday night. Well, so with 5 weeks in the books, I feel like most of us have a general feel of how we feel about teams, divisions, conferences, where we think is go as we look for the fine future ticket to put in for who's going to win the division, the NFC, the AFC conferences. I know I have the Rams to win the division as a wager, which I feel very good about right now. So first we're going to start with the AFC, and we just want to predict the playoffs right now. Let's give our four division winners, the two teams we think are going to be our wild card teams, and you know why we think they're going to continue to trend up or down, or who we like and who we don't like. So in the AFC East, guys, it's a tie
pretty
at the top.
Easy. It's pretty easy.
It's here. A tie at the top with the Pats and the Dolphins. Spence, since Tom Lador was on our podcast.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that was a...
The Dolphins really plummeted back to earth after Tom was here.
They proceeded to lose 38-7 and then 27-17 at Cincinnati. Two very rough road games. Now they have to play the Bears this upcoming week. I mean, you might have put the kibosh on this franchise.
You know, the Patriots won. You could see coming from a mile away.
You took them in their pick segment.
I sure did. And I said
covered the 7 easy.
I said 18.
Yeah, you were being generous.
Yeah,
you were being generous.
They would have covered the 18.
Yeah, and then last week, you're up 17-3.
What a disaster!
You give up 24 fourth quarter points. I mean, this is the team I thought that the Dolphins were.
Listen, I mean, the moral of the story is, and this doesn't, I suppose, just apply to them, but 3 weeks into the season, let's pump the brakes on the expectations here. We're putting the Dolphins in a Super Bowl after week 3. Let's take it easy. Let's realize what they are. They're a good team. They're not a great team. And they're showing that right now.
So we all like New England to win the division in the
East.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, they finally took over
first
place.
Is it ever a question?
No. So in the NFC North, it's probably one of the most competitive divisions in all of football. So you have Cincinnati at 4-1.
The AFC North.
The AFC North. My apologies. The AFC North has the Bengals at 4-1, the Ravens at 3-2, and then you got Cleveland and Pittsburgh, both 2-2-1, both coming off impressive wins. You've got every team in this division with a positive point differential. I mean, with the exception of the Steelers, no team has lost a home game in this division. The Bengals are playing good. They have a favorable schedule going down. I like the Bengals to come out of the NFC North.
AFC. That's
AFC North.
I don't know why
don't
you
know
keep thinking they're in the NFC.
AFC North.
I also like them to come out of the AFC North. I've really liked what they've done so far, and I've been a big Andy Dalton detractor for a very long time. But he's done a much better job protecting the football this year. They weathered the storm with Joe Mixon out. Bernard did a great job in his absence. Now they have Mixon back. I think Bernard's a little bit banged up right now, but Mixon's a dynamic player and a game breaker. Big guy to have back. They're getting a lot out of Boyd at the wide receiver position. He's the perfect complement to A.J. Green. And the defense is rock solid. That's going to be a tough division, I think, right till the end.
Yeah.
It's great that they've gotten out to a 4-1 lead, but that whole division is, I don't think anybody's really going to go away all that easily. It's going to be a dogfight right until the end of December, I think, with this division.
I think you're going to see at least one wild card team out of this division.
I think so, too. And I wouldn't be surprised to see if it was the Browns. Could happen.
I'd still be very surprised to see if it was the Browns. This is a big week, man. Pittsburgh going into Cincinnati, you know, it's...
Pittsburgh trying to take back
I'm down on Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think everyone is. The games they've won, it's not like they've looked overly impressive. I mean, you know, but you said Dalton's doing a better job taking care of the ball. He's got 7 picks in 5 games. It's not, you know...
Might be better for him.
Right, it's good for him, but it's not... It's not great. You know, mediocrity likes company. I don't really think anyone's extremely good in the division, but I don't think anyone's bad either. So
I think the key thing, the Bengals 3-0 in the conference, 1-0 in the division, so they still have a lot of division games. Baltimore 1-2 already in the division. So while they are 3-2, both of those losses, division losses, you know, to Cincinnati and Cleveland, they still have to play Pittsburgh twice. Or no, they beat Pittsburgh already. So I apologize. So they still have one of each division matchup left. I don't know. I think we definitely see the Bengals and at least one other team. I think that'll be our consensus, gentlemen.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean... I'm
really not sold on the Ravens, though.
Well, yeah, give me an argument for somebody else then, Spence.
I still think the Steelers are the team to come out of.
Why?
Well,
what
no,
have
as,
they showed you?
As no, as the wild card. They just put up points, man. Like, you know, in a league where quarterback play is kind of a rare, like decent quarterback play is kind of a rarity. They still Ben's still on the in the better, you know, top third. And you have Antonio Brown, and you know, you have Jesse James and Vance McDonald, and you know, the Eli Rogers, and
that's,
you know,
fair.
Juju Smith. They're potent.
They're third in points scored in the entire AFC.
I mean, a big
for what it's worth.
They're in probably the biggest stretch of the season for them. Their next three games at Cincinnati, home to the Browns, at the Ravens. That'll decide if they're going to make a push in this division.
They're third in points scored, but they're also third in points against. So, you know, it's going to be a battle for them.
Right, and if they don't trade him, they are going to get Le'Veon Bell back.
It sounds like now he's going to play.
Right,
from what I've been reading.
They're coming back on the bye is what everything
I've
seen.
Yeah, and he's fully prepared to report to practice, right?
Yeah, I mean.
As long as he signs his tender. All right, so we'll visit the wild card teams in there. The AFC South has been a dogfight of piss-poor performances. You have the Tennessee Titans, who have far and away scored the fewest points in the division, leading at 3-2, tied with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You have the Houston Texans at 2-3, who, while they've won two games in a row, have not looked impressive. And then the 1-4 Indianapolis Colts. Spence, any reason why we don't see your Jags, you know, taking this down the rest of the way?
I mean, I just, it might be biased, but I still can't see it. I still think that defense is the class of the division for sure. And, you know, everyone's going to point to Bortles turning the ball over 5 times last week, which is embarrassing. But he has these games, and he seems to not let it really affect him all that much. You know, in the long term, as a Giants fan, you know, Eli's kind of been the same way as far as, like, he doesn't really, like, he doesn't let the last game affect his next game.
All shucks, Eli, he doesn't remember what happens.
Right. So, you know, maybe a couple concussions later, Blake's forgetting too, but
I think the big thing with Bortles is you just need him to just not get in the way.
Right.
Like, don't
you need
turn
him to manage
over.
The game.
And don't turn the ball over. Make the right throws. Make the right reads. Use your legs when you need to. If he doesn't kill you, like with the 5 turnovers, this team's going to win more games than not. That's why I think they're going to win this.
Yeah, and you need Fournette back. You know, he's still nursing a hamstring.
Yeldon's banged up, too.
Yeah, Yeldon's banged up.
And they just signed Jamal Charles.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to win the division, too. The Colts are terrible, obviously. The Texans aren't that much better. I don't think the Titans are as good as they've shown.
The Texans are 2 halfway decent coaches against them from being 0-5.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's I'm not.
I will say, though, I think Jacksonville's going to have some trouble when they get to the postseason. I do think they're going to win the division and make the playoffs, but they need to get healthy. Bortles still concerns me because he is prone to a game like that where, you know, he can either manage the game and you let the defense and the running game take over, or he can turn the ball over 5 times and single-handedly cost them the game.
Yeah, I still think, you know, when it comes to that division, I know what you're saying, but I just can't see them.
I don't think anybody else scares you.
Right.
No, I have them winning the division. My point was that they're going to have a difficult time in the playoffs.
I agree.
I don't agree. But
yeah, whatever. All right, so as we matriculate down to the final division in the AFC, the West, we have the Kansas City Chiefs.
Pretty cut and dry.
5-0. Patty Mahomes leading the most prolific offense in the NFL, followed by the Los Angeles Chargers at 3-2. The 2-3 and on a 3-game losing streak, Denver Broncos, and the God knows what is happening Oakland Raiders with John Gruden running the helm. I think KC's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah,
here.
I think we've all probably got the same idea for that division. All
right. So we have New England, Cincinnati, the Jaguars, and Kansas City winning the division, which leaves us with 2 wild card spots. So I'll give you the potential candidates. Miami at 3-2, I consider a legitimate candidate. Baltimore at 3-2, Cleveland at 2-2-1, Pittsburgh at 2-2-1. I think you have to consider Tennessee, just given what they've been able to do against big opponents. You know, beating the Eagles. Beating the Texans, beating the Jaguars, you know, 2 of those teams are pretty good wins, and I think Vrabel's got this team going in the right direction. So I think we include them, and I think the Los Angeles Chargers at 3-2. So that gives us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams that I think could potentially make the wild card. Nobody else thinks the Bills, Jets, Broncos, Texans, Colts?
No.
Raiders?
No. Oak?
No.
All right. So, out of those six teams, who do you guys like?
I like the Steelers and the Titans.
Steelers
those
and
are
the
my
Titans.
Two picks.
Bug.
I like the Steelers and the Chargers. I like Phil Rivers. Take him, you know, against most other quarterbacks in the league.
On paper, I love the Chargers, but they do this every year. I mean, how many times have we seen?
Well, they
this?
Were one in. I believe they were 1-6 last year, and then went 8-1 down the stretch.
Right. This is. I mean, 3-2 is a good start for them.
And their only two losses are against the two 5-0 teams, the Chiefs and the Rams.
They're prone to streaky behavior. That's the point.
I mean, so are the Chiefs, though. There's a good chance that the Chiefs stop, go Andy Reid style, and just, you know, get a flat tire in the middle of the season.
As somebody who has a Chiefs under 8.5 win total bet,
I think that's looking pretty bad right now.
We've already paid. We are already expecting a big L on that one. I think the Chargers are going to make it, and I think Baltimore is going to be the other team.
Why Baltimore?
I Joe Flacco has played really well. They finally surrounded him with receivers. John Brown. He's got almost 400 yards already. Alex Collins is running the ball. Flacco's playing. I mean, Flacco's still bad. But he's playing much, much better. You know, Collins has got a few rushing touchdowns. Buck Allen has 3 rushing touchdowns. Willie Snead, Michael Crabtree. They're surrounding him with weapons. You know, it's you know, kind of like the Giants with the poor man. These are all poor man weapons. To what the Giants have, they're just getting much better quarterback play than the Giants are.
Right, and they're also all drastically more effective than anyone on the Giants.
That's not wrong.
Besides the running back.
So I think the defense is still playing well. They, you know, they've already beat Pittsburgh this year, a team you guys like. They routed the Bills, a bad team we like to see. They lost a tough road game to Cincinnati, who's playing well. They lost a tough road game to Cleveland, who's playing well with an upstart rookie quarterback. You know, the schedule's not terrible. They've got the Raiders late in the season. They got the Tampa late in the year. I know they go to Kansas City as well. I think the defense as well. I think Pittsburgh, they've just got too many issues defending the ball. And you saw with Kansas City, if they get into a lead, they can come back in a shootout. But they gave up 42 points in that game, only scoring 37. I think Baltimore has a great balance of mix, 132 points for, 77 against.
The AFC in points against.
Yeah. I think the Ravens are going to maintain in that division. And, yeah, I don't trust Miami, clearly, after these last few weeks. I don't think you can trust Tennessee with them putting up points in these games. You know, they won 9-6, and they just lost 13-12 to Buffalo. I think the Chargers, you know, like we said, their only two losses were against the Rams and the Chiefs, the two 5-0 teams. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm kind of right there with you with the Chargers, so.
Go Chargers, go! So, all right, so that wraps up our AFC. Now we will move to the parity conference in the more fun conference. Yeah, the more fun conference where there's a lot happening, none of which in the NFC East is happening. As
very bad division.
We start there. The team leading the NFC East through 5 weeks. Now, granted, they have had a bye. The 2-2 Washington Redskins, which...
Not a chance they finished the season there. Not a chance.
The Dallas Cowgirls at 2-3. The defending Super Bowl champions at 2-3 as well. And my New York Giants gladly pulling up the rear with the worst record in the conference at 1-4. Gentlemen, even at 2-3, and Wentz only having played 3 weeks, still finding
it's
his role.
Eagles. It's the Eagles.
We still think the Eagles are all going to win.
It's,
they're going to run
the
away.
Eagles, for sure. Yeah. They haven't played their best football yet. It's absolutely... And every week... Wentz is going to get better. It's the Eagles, simply because, honestly, they're the best team in the division. When you compare the Eagles to the other three teams in that division, they are the best team.
It's the second best team in the division, just got blown out by New Orleans on Monday night. Because the Cowboys are one of the worst offensive efficiency teams in the league. They cannot throw the ball at all. If you stop Zeke Elliott, I mean, it's...
The Redskins and Cowboys have scored the second least amount of points in the entire NFC.
Yeah, 83 points. It's ridiculous.
The only team that scored less is the Cardinals.
every team in the division's got negative point differential. I mean...
It's not good.
It's kind of a disaster right now, but...
You got the New York Giants who finally scored 30 points
for the
first time in 37 games.
Congratulations.
Yeah, when they still lose on a 63-yard field goal, I mean...
And you got your idiot wide receiver in the news making boneheaded comments...
I'll say this: if you get him the ball, he produces.
But you can't. We had this conversation before we went on the air. There's no one to throw him the ball. So going and complaining about not getting the ball is counterproductive.
I mean, do what they did last week. Give it to him and let him throw it then. Fuck it.
I mean, you know as well as I do. That's not a
practical
way. Is
there a quarterback controversy?
If Odell wants to be the quarterback, let's let Odell be the quarterback. He might be able to move out of the pocket and throw the ball for once.
A lot of problems. A lot of problems.
You're paying him like a quarterback. You might as well.
Hopefully you get the number one
pick. Wildcat formation with Odell. Let him throw it. Let him sling it.
Maybe you get the number one pick and you get Herbert.
That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. All right, so we like Philadelphia out of the East.
Yes.
Out of the North, the 3-1
Norris Division.
Chicago Bears. Followed by the 2-2-1 Packers and Vikings and the 2-3 Lions. Boys, I don't think many people had the Bears winning the division to begin the year. The Khalil Mack trade obviously makes a big difference. Do we like Chicago here?
I do think Chicago is going to make the postseason. I don't think they're going to win the division.
I think they're winning the division.
I think Minnesota is really going to figure this out. They've played the worst football we've seen them play in the last 18 months over the first 5 weeks. They can't be any worse than they've been. They've gotten no running game, period. I think they're the only team in the NFL that doesn't have a 100-yard rusher for a game this year.
They, Pat Shurmur, or no, not Shurmur. Who's the head coach? What's his name? The head coach of Minnesota. What's his name?
The guy with one eye.
Mike Zimmer.
The other guy.
I blew it. I couldn't think for a minute. Massive brain fart. Mike Zimmer, this is the most passing his offense has ever been. They're passing, 73% of plays, which is way more than he wants. You know, he's more of that.
Yeah, they're not getting anything from the running game. And, I mean, if you take the game out of the equation where the kicker crapped his pants, they should be 3-2 in second place right now, a game behind the Bears. So I think the best is yet to come with them. I love the Bears. I'm very high on them. And I do think they will win the wild card and they'll make the postseason. But I think the Vikings are gonna figure this out, and I think they'll end up winning the North.
As someone who has the Bears at 95-1 to win the Super Bowl, I am all in on Chicago. This defense looks incredible. Khalil Mack is
I don't think this quarterback's good enough to win the Super Bowl.
I think he's getting better, and I mean, obviously, it was very encouraging, the game at home versus the Bucs.
If they go to L.A., are they beating the Rams? They're not.
I think that defense will put up a fight.
If you put that kid on the road in L.A., he's gonna in against the fucking Rams, he's going to get eaten alive.
I think that defense is going to hold them in games, though, and that pass rush and what they're able to do, you know, with Khalil Mack moving him around. And Trubisky can dink and dunk the ball. He's got almost 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. I mean, he's not having a good year. I'm not trying to defend him.
Yeah, but he's not having a good year.
The encouraging thing, he just came off he came off his best statistical game as a pro, throwing 6 touchdowns at home. Now he gets to go play the Dolphins, arguably one of the worst teams in the NFL right now, after 2 terrible games. He's got a game versus the Jets coming up, against the 2 games against the Lions.
Jets got a good defense.
I know. There's a lot of favorable matchups for the Bears coming. They get to play the 49ers. They get to play the Giants. They got 2 games against the Lions, a game against the Bills. Like, this team has got a very easy schedule. We've already seen, you know, they can play the Packers close in week 1. And Aaron Rodgers still isn't healthy. I think Minnesota is definitely the team to chase them down. But I think this is the Bears. You know, go bear down. Let's go.
Yeah, I still think it's the Vikings in the division. You know, Chicago.
How much of fans picking the Bears is him having the Bears at 95?
It's 100%.
Yeah. If you had no bet on that, you're going to take a much more non-biased approach to this.
Let's have fun. I mean, I like Chicago. Now I've got a Rudy. I'm all in it. The Bears have allowed 65 points this year.
Yeah, no, the Bears' defense is really good. You know, much like Vin said, if you take away the last game, Mitch Trubisky has been extremely, like, lackluster.
Right, that's my big thing. You got to take 6 touchdowns out of the stat.
Right, he's got 8 touchdowns.
His stat line for the year got so inflated by that game.
I think here's the thing.
He was largely mediocre before.
You have a first-year head coach in Matt Nagy who came from Kansas City where they were able to sling the ball everywhere and do a whole bunch of creative offensive things. I mean, look what he did for Pat Mahomes in a year. So now, having an offseason, and now he's had 4 full games with him. He's had a bye week with him now. I think Trubisky only improves under the offensive-minded head coach. And if you have an offensive-minded head coach who wants to get creative and have fun, and he's got this kind of great defense, I think it's the perfect success of what you want in the NFL right now, where it's so much of it's an offensive game. If you can have any semblance of something that can stop somebody, any semblance of a pass rush who can force turnovers and do these things, which the Bears have shown week in and week out right now, I think the Bears are the best team in the AFC, the NFC North.
I really got to question you on why you think that. Take last week out of the equation, where he threw 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He was 2 touchdown, 4 interception before that.
So.
And he had lost 3 fumbles.
Okay.
He's turning the ball over like crazy.
Against Arizona, they were down 14-0. He led them back to a 16-14 win. He had a very impressive game against Seattle, where late in the game, he was able to.
He threw no touchdowns in that 16-14 win. And he ran for no touchdowns in that 16-14 win.
Still.
So let's. Yeah, but I'm saying you can't push a narrative of, well, he led them back. He didn't do anything to lead them back. They won, because and he happened to be the quarterback. He didn't do nothing on the stat line showed that he led them back to win the game.
Those drives, he was 24 of 35 for 220, so he did. They did have to throw the ball. They did have to score points at some point. He did have to lead the offense down the field.
I mean, we're saying 220 yards and a pick is a good stat line. Is that really
what
we're pushing?
I mean, he led the team for the game. He led the team on a 13-play drive with left almost less than 5 minutes left on the clock. It was the go-ahead field goal in the game.
On a road game
for a young quarterback, that's what you want to see.
He's playing the worst defense in the NFL.
Yeah, as much as I hate to agree with Pans, like, it is a like he got out of there with a win. Like, he came through when he needed to. As
the team down.
As someone who's a fan of a team that's inept at the quarterback position at times, you know, the Bears...
I'd take Trubisky on the Giants right now.
I'd take you on the Giants right now. You're having a hard time inspiring confidence for me, telling me that, well, he escaped Arizona with a 2-point win. They're one of the worst teams in the NFL, if not the worst team in the NFL. So, yes, congrats on getting the win, but as we've seen with the Dolphins that we've discussed at length, you're not proving anything by beating teams like that. The Dolphins were 3-0 and beat 3 mediocre teams. Then they played 2 good teams and they got their asses kicked. The test is about to come.
I think all of us have the Bears and Minnesota making the playoffs. Would we not agree with
agree.
That sentiment? All right, so we'll take that and we'll move on to the NFC South, which I mean, we thought this was going to be the best division in football. It really hasn't disappointed.
No, this is a tough one to figure out.
So, the Saints at 4-1, clearly looking like the cream, one of the creams of the crop in the conference. Carolina, 3-1, with, again, another impressive victory over the Giants. The Bucks at 2-2, after starting hot with Fitzmagic, they have gone ice cold. And then, speaking of ice cold, Matty Ice and the Atlanta Falcons are 1-4, and conceivably, they lose the Saints game in overtime. You could flip that as a dub if one or two plays goes here or there. The Bengals score a touchdown with 7 seconds left in the game. You know, the Eagles play, they have the ball inside the 5 to end the game. One play in 3 or 4 of these games, and it's, you know, they're 4-1, so it's, while they clearly are a little bit better than the record, it's what your record says. 1-4 is still 1-4. Guys, do we think anybody's catching the Saints in this division? I mean,
I think the Panthers definitely could. For sure. They're getting Greg Olsen back either this week or the following week. I think the Panthers definitely could catch them. I don't think they will, but I think they could.
Is there a team that, like, you know, after 2 weeks, I think we're all on the same page with what a disappointment the Saints were. They got beat by the Bucks, and they barely got, you know, they barely escaped at home against Cleveland.
Browns.
Yeah. And, you know, that comeback win against Atlanta, I mean, it turned their whole season around. They came out the last 2 weeks
absolutely.
And just beat the shit out of the Giants and the Redskins.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, you know.
And now they got Ingram back.
Yeah, and Ingram looked good.
Yeah, you get them at home, man. They're fast. They're just really, really fast. With Kamara and Michael Thomas, you know, Mark Ingram being the thunder of the thunder-lightning combination. They're tough, man. They're just really, really tough.
Your second wild card will come from this division, I think.
I think so, too. I mean, then you add in,
I think it makes sense because if you look at the NFC East, there's clearly only one team getting out of there.
Sure.
And as we cycle down to the NFC West, you know, the Rams at 5-0, Nobody else is inspiring. Seahawks 2-3.
No. Yeah,
Cardinals and 49ers 1-4. 49ers lose Jimmy G. So it's like, clearly we all like the Rams there. Clearly looking like one of the best teams in football. So with that being said, we have the Eagles. We have a combination of either the Vikings or the Bears in the North. We all think the Saints are going to win the South and the Rams out of the West.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think it's a coin flip, honestly, in the South, but we'll see what happens. Well, the Panthers are one of only three teams that are undefeated at home. The other two teams you could theoretically pencil in the Super Bowl.
So we think the Bears and the Vikings will both make the playoffs,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Bug?
Yeah, yeah.
So with that being said, that leaves one spot now for either Carolina, Green Bay.
My pick is Carolina.
Carolina. So, yeah, it pretty much comes to Carolina or Green Bay because I don't
think Rodgers will be healthy all year.
I don't think we think Detroit will get there. Any of the teams from the NFC North, I don't think Tampa can maintain. I think the Bucks or the Falcons are in too big a hole. And the NFC West, I mean, Seattle does not look good, especially Earl Thomas going down. And Arizona and San Francisco looked as inept as ever. So, I think you're right, Vin. I think Aaron Rodgers doesn't look healthy, and it clearly shows.
Yeah, he doesn't look 100% at all. And obviously, they go as Aaron Rodgers goes. So, I think they'll end up having a very mediocre year.
Yeah, I think, you know, the NFC is a lot more, a lot more parity. But realistically, what? There's seven teams for six spots, if you look at it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the bottom of the NFC is the fucking pits.
You got the Giants, you got the Cardinals, you got the 49ers, none of which have a quarterback.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I don't really like Dallas and Washington. They both have two wins, but I can't see them winning eight or nine games.
I can see the Redskins, you know, getting. I mean, Alex Smith is still a professional quarterback who wins games. Obviously, he ran into the Saints, which are a juggernaut, and they had a brutal home loss to the Colts, but they did beat Green Bay at home. They did beat the Cardinals on the road. I know the Cardinals are terrible, but it's, you know, they've got two home games coming up. Alex Smith is still a professional quarterback. You know, they've got games versus the Titans, games versus the Texans,
the Bucs.
He looked
awful on Monday night. He looked terrible.
I mean, that whole team looked pretty bad on Monday night. good for us having the +7 there, right, Vin?
Yeah, we really came close to covering that one. Another stellar play.
Stellar play. The pain. All right, guys. So, to recap both playoffs, we have the Patriots, the Bengals, the Jags, and the Chiefs with you guys had some combination.
I had Pittsburgh and Tennessee as my wild card.
Pittsburgh and Tennessee. I had Boog and I both had the Chargers. I had the Ravens. You had the Steelers, correct?
Yes, sir.
So any combination of those. And then in the NFC, we had the Eagles, the Bears, the Vikings, the Saints, the Panthers, and the Rams. So given that, guys, give me your NFC and AFC title games. And then who wins the Super Bowl right now? I will go first.
Go ahead.
In the NFC, I think you will have the Los Angeles Rams, who on the preview pod, I said would go 14-2 and win the Super Bowl, and I still expect that.
So much for your bet.
Well, I will have them facing.
Let's take a wild guess at what team this is going to be.
The Chicago Bears.
What a surprise.
Game really could go either way.
Look, you got the best. The offense, the great offense versus the great defense. I think Khalil Mack shows up. I think it'll be a fun game. I think the Rams, ultimately that high-octane offense with Sean McVay and Jared Goff, presses forward and leads them to the NFC crown. Not exactly, you know, going wild right there.
Now, before you jump to the AFC, this is kind of off the page a little bit.
Of course.
But, like, if Khalil Mack keeps playing the way he's playing, can you make a case for MVP? Like,
yeah. So right now he's 30-1, which is ridiculous for a defensive player.
Yeah, this early in the season.
Yeah, you could definitely make a case for sure.
You have to have
he's forced a fumble in every game.
You have to have an all-time stat line. You got to realize when Strahan set the sack record, he got no votes for MVP. It's like the things you need to do, like when J.J. Watt was at his peak and he won three straight defensive player of the years. He got MVP votes. He had 20 sacks with like six fumbles. He caught three touchdowns on offense that year. He had like two defensive touchdowns. He had, you know, multiple forced fumbles, multiple fumble recoveries. safeties. Like, you need to have all of those things. You need to have a lot of them.
These guys put a lot of credence on team success when they vote for these
guys. I agree.
And you could make the argument that Mack has just completely transformed the team.
Bears go 12-4, and Mack...
He's completely transformed the team.
I mean, even if they just make the playoffs, they don't have to go 12-4.
Like J.J. Watt that year, obviously J.J. Watt was a beast. But what did the Texans do? They didn't do anything.
First round exit.
Yeah, they petered out in the first round. Here's
how I think Khalil Mack wins the MVP. The Bears go 11-5 at least. They have to go 11-5 or better. I think Khalil Mack has to have 20 sacks, a combination of 10 fumbles forced and fumble recoveries, and at least 3 touchdowns in any capacity to sniff the MVP voting. And I don't think that's...
Right now, it seems like that's like a... You can almost lock
it
up.
I mean, that's the case. Pat Mahomes, the current favorite, at 3-1 right now. Goff at 4-1, the two favorites I'm looking at right now. So, thank you, Spence.
5 sacks and 4 forced fumbles right now, by the way, for Mac.
Yeah, and a pick 6.
Yep.
So, repeat 4 more games. It's a quarter of the way through the season. Let's see him repeat that 3 more times, and you know, he'll certainly be in that discussion. The AFC, I have the New England Patriots making this title game. I believe they made it 8 straight years at this point. I'm not betting against Touchdown Tom. I don't know why anybody would. I think this is, you know, the Patriots will get their first, they'll get a home game. They'll get their bye. They'll beat up on some schlep team. You know, it was the Texans 2 years ago, the Titans last year after their upset of Kansas City. And it's just, you know, I can't see a scenario where they're not in the AFC title game. And I have them going against Kansas City. This team is... They just look like a juggernaut right now offensively. As long as Andy Reid doesn't get in the way, there's no reason why this team shouldn't.
That's a big if. A big if. Well, this team should have been in the second round last year, and he did get in the way.
Somebody who had a hefty wager on the Chiefs, it was not pretty to watch. Up 21-0 to lose 22-21 to Tennessee at Arrowhead, and had Mariota catch his own pass, and for a touchdown, it's a...
Never underestimate Andy Reid, my friends.
Can I change? I don't want to pick Andy Reid. I'm getting agita right
sure,
now.
Sure, you can change.
All right, I'm taking the Chargers. Give me Fantastic Phil.
Come on.
This team's on the rise.
No way.
Their only 2 losses are to the Chiefs and the Rams. If they get a favorable
but
draw...
5 games!
They can beat New England at home. Oof. If KC gets slipped up.
Oof. You're going to tell me with a straight face that a team that has won a grand total of nothing since Philip Rivers has been their starting quarterback is going to go into Foxborough in the AFC Championship game and beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Nah, fuck it. I'm taking the Chiefs.
That's what I thought.
So
who's your Super Bowl champion?
It'll be New England versus the Rams, and I have the Rams winning.
All right.
Not exactly going for the jugular. If we're having the fun one, it's, you know, what I want to see.
Well, no.
Chargers-Bears.
It's a prediction. It's a prediction. So it's what you think is going to happen.
That's what I think is what happened. What I want to happen is Chargers-Bears. That would be great.
NFC, I have the Rams and the Vikings. That'll be my NFC title game.
Rams and the Vikings.
Rams, obviously, we've spoken enough about. Everybody has extolled the virtues of the Rams. Like I said, we've seen the Vikings' worst football of the year. And if there's ever a time to play your worst football of the year, it's in the first 5 weeks of the season. I think they're only going to get better. They can't possibly have less of a running game than they've had through these first 5 weeks. Cook is going to find it. You'll have Murray to change the pace. Cousins is going to keep slinging the ball around. Hopefully they get a little bit better from their kicking game. So I have Rams and Vikings in the NFC Championship game. In the AFC, obviously Patriots. As you just explained, you're not picking against the Patriots to get there. They will have their bye. They will beat up on a lesser team, and they will be in the AFC Championship again. As for their opponent, I think we will see a repeat of last year, and you will have Patriots-Jaguars in the AFC Championship game. Whether or not the Jaguars learned from their mistakes last year, because let's get one thing straight. It was a big win beating the Patriots. A big win. They did it in Jacksonville, and they did it in the third week?
They did it in September.
They did it in September, right. Going to Foxborough, assuming the Patriots do get home field, which I think they will, going to Foxborough and beating them in the playoffs is a horse of a different color, as one might say. But that is my AFC Championship game. As far as the Super Bowl, Rams and Patriots. That's my pick. Again, going kind of rock chalk there, but Rams and Pats is my pick.
Boog, any excitement?
I guess
mixing it up a little bit.
I guess a little bit.
But keep it spicy, Boog. What do we got?
The NFC Championship. I got the Rams and the Saints.
Saints.
The Saints are 4-1. It's a tough division, but if they can get that 2 seed and get home field advantage until the championship game, not have to go to Chicago or Minnesota, I just think that they're they're a different animal. So I do like the Saints and obviously the Rams. I think that's a general consensus to the way they're playing right now. And the amount of talent that they have, if they can stay healthy, it's an unstoppable
Kamara and Ingram.
Force.
Ingram looked good. Now you got Kamara with both of them. Save Drew Brees, keep him fresh.
Yeah.
Brees still looks good.
Yeah, I mean, it's when they get rolling, they're the scariest offense in football. It's fucking terrifying. And then in the AFC, I'm not going to be a homer here. I think that's a bit silly. Obviously, I'm going to go with the Jags and the Chiefs. maybe. I mean, I'm not being a homer. That's just what
I,
that's a
no. That's I listen. I picked Jacksonville too.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville's going to knock off the Pats in the second round.
Wow,
that is. We'll see.
Then
we're
going to
pen that one down. Save that. Cut that.
Hey,
he
is one for one on bold predictions. He the Patriots to annihilate the Dolphins, and that did happen. So
I don't know how bold that was. It was like a reenactment of
the Texans. Was Texans to win the division? Prick at the beginning of the year is looking mighty fine as well.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about just throwing them in as a wild card team when we were going through it, but they're pretty fucking terrible.
They're awful. Yeah.
In the Super Bowl, I'm going to go with the Saints and the Chiefs, and the Saints are going to win, and Drew Brees is going to retire.
Wow. Big proclamations from the big man in the middle, Boak. Love it. Love having a little variety. Now, gentlemen, as we wrap this up, we cannot go away without giving our picks. We have missed a week, which for shame on us. We should have at least tweeted them out or kept it running. We're going to be a week behind, but alas, we still must deliver. Picks for everybody to fade. Boog, you were 2-7, I believe, correct?
Oh, but a stellar 3-0.
A 3-0 week 4.
We're 5-7.
5-7. Vin, how are you doing? You were 5-4, I believe.
Correct.
I was 4-5.
Correct.
How did you do in week 4?
Did we make picks?
Yeah, on the podcast.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember what I picked. Well, I picked the Dolphins. They didn't cover.
Nope.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and listen to the tape.
Well, we'll figure. We'll look into the tape. We'll definitely have that for you guys next week. I was 4-5. I went 1-1-1. The brutal 1 win, 1 loss, 1 push. Yep. I had the Rams -7 on Thursday against the Vikings. That was a push because they can't hit a 28-yard field goal, which is disgusting. I had the Giants. They got eviscerated by the Saints. And then I had the Broncos on Monday night. Got it at 5.5 on the pod. Was at 3.5 below after the game. Could have had yourself a nice middle as the game ended 4. But we went 1-1-1 that week. Vin, since we don't know what your record is, we're going to assume it's the best given that me and Spence are both still under 500. Well, would you like to lead it off for us, as they say?
Sure. I'll lead it off. 3 picks. My first one, I'm sure I'll regret. But give me the Jets laying 3 points.
Wow. I almost had this game. I took this game off.
Give me the Jets laying 3 points at home to the Colts. The Jets are not good, but the Colts are a disgrace. And they got a lot of guys banged up. They're very hurt.
Jets played very well at home.
The defense looks like it's starting to come together. They looked great last week against a pretty good team. Indianapolis, I just don't think – they haven't really been keeping games competitive, aside from the game against the Eagles a couple weeks ago. So I like the Jets laying 3 at home. My second game, I've been talking about the Vikings a lot. They're going to lay a lot of points this week, and I still like them. Home to the Cardinals – I know Rosen went on the road last week. This is not the same thing as going to San Francisco. It's going to be a tough place for him to play. Arizona's really not good, obviously, as we all know. And I really think Minnesota's going to start putting it together. As I've mentioned, they played their worst football. I think the best is ahead for them. And I think you're going to slowly but surely start seeing the Vikings that you saw last year. So give me the Vikings laying 10 points at home. For my third one, maybe we should go with an underdog, huh? Should we go with an underdog?
You Let's tell see. Me, dude. The world is your oyster.
Let's see.
How much horseradish do you want to add?
Nope, we're going to go with another favorite.
3 favorites.
Rams, laying 7 on the road against
wow.
Denver. I mean, Denver just got their asses kicked by the Jets. I think it goes without saying the Rams are an exponentially better team than the Jets. And honestly, you got to keep betting the Rams, until they give you a reason not to bet them, right? So I love Los Angeles laying 7 in Denver. Those are my three. Los Angeles laying 7, Minnesota laying 10, and the Jets laying 3 at home to the Colts.
Wow. All right. So to piggyback, the Rams are 4-0 when we have made picks on this podcast. I believe I'm 2-0. I was 2-0 selecting them. They do have a tie as well. So every week that we have been on the podcast, they have covered. I like the Rams as well, laying the 7. I'm going to bet them until they don't cover, or at least get, you know, a push last push 2 weeks ago. They covered last week, or they didn't cover last week. So their only loss this year was when we didn't record the podcast. Every time we record the podcast, they cover. Give me the Rams.
Wow, that's an unbelievable stat.
That's the stat we're going with. Give me the Rams, laying the 7. I'm with you on that one, Vin, in game number 1. I've got two dogs in my next two games. Give me Tennessee as the home dog to Baltimore this week. Getting the 3 points at home. I know I was tooting Baltimore to be my wild card team. I really like where this Tennessee team is at right now in the season. They're talking about doing it for the boys. Vrabel's got this team coached up. They're winning tight games. I know the game in Buffalo was a rough one to lose, 13-12. But they're playing these tight games. They're keeping things close. In a tight game, I want a home team getting points. Nothing better than that. Give me the Titans plus 3 in game number 2. And in game number 3, we are going to take a very bad team. But they're getting a whole lot of points.
I know where this is going.
I like the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I almost did it.
I like the Bills getting 10 points at Houston. Houston has no business laying 10 points to anybody.
Yeah, I agree.
That game against Dallas, they got in the red zone how many times? 4 times? They got 3 field goals and stopped on downs? Bill O'Brien has no idea what he is doing in the red zone. I like the Bills' defense. They've shown success on the road earlier this year going into Minnesota and whitewashing the floor. I know Allen doesn't look like the best of the rookie quarterbacks, but they're playing a lot better with him at the helm, giving him more reps. I don't think Houston should be laying 10 to anybody. I think this is a field goal game. Give me the Bills plus 10 in game number 3. So to recap, game number 1, we have the Rams laying the 7. Game number 2, we get the Titans getting 3 at home. Game number 3, the Bills plus 10. Zelly's picks for week number 6. Boom.
Yeah, man. You each had one in the same mind, so I'll start
love
off
it.
With those.
Love it.
I love the Titans. Love the Titans.
Great.
At home.
Let's do it, baby.
If anyone is not afraid to get in the mud, it's the Titans. Baltimore doesn't have those mud gills.
Joe Flacco's going to get punched in the mouth this game.
Yeah, this is his nightmare. This is his fucking nightmare. And, you know, it'll be a 12-9 game, maybe 17-10.
17-14, 17-13.
Yeah, it's
going to
be ugly. And, you know,
16-15, something dirty.
Yes, yeah, maybe a little rain with the hurricane coming up the coast. Give me some rain. Vin, love the Jets at home.
Love it, baby.
The Colts are fucking brutal. And if they can find a different way to lose a game, it seems like they're going to. The Jets played really well last week, beating a team that I don't think anyone saw, you know, them, you know, kind of beating the way they did. So I like the Jets at home. And then the Chargers going to Cleveland, laying 2. The Browns are, you know, they're a gritty team. They're a tough team.
Wow.
I just think that the 2 points, it's perfect. Cleveland keeps games close. Yeah, I use my words a little better. Cleveland keeps it close like they always do. Hugh Jackson fucks it up like he always does. And the Chargers walk out of there with a field goal victory.
There it is. All right, boys. So it is. It was good to be back. Thanks. Good to get the band back together. We hope not to have any more hiatuses, or at least if we do, we'll mention it on our Twitter feed at Boogie Down Pod, on the Instagram, through our own personal Twitter accounts. You can follow all of us at Heel Vin, at Old Uncle Boogie, at Thomas_Panzella. You know, we'll keep you posted. Worst case, we can at least pick games to fade for you for over the weekend. Zelly College has not been doing well, so tons of action to fade there. Can't wait, boys, and we'll see everybody next week.